7, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We began to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we begin lesson 16, we want to pick up and look at the purpose of spiritual gifts. The purpose of spiritual gifts. Purpose number one is to glorify the Father. To glorify the Father. Let's begin in the book of Psalms with me. Psalms number 34. Psalm number 34 in verse number 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So anything we do as Christians, and that would again be the would include the use of the spiritual gifts that were given, would to magnify the Lord and exalt his name, to glorify the Father, in other words. Look it with me in Psalm 69, 30. Psalm 69, 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Again, anything we do, and again, that would include the spiritual gifts, the purpose behind it would be to glorify God. Glorify the Father. Revelations chapter number 4 tells us something very interesting. Revelations chapter number 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. We were created, amen. God gave us spiritual gifts to please him, to glorify him. Amen. Another purpose, or the second purpose that you see on our outline for the spiritual gifts, is to edify the church. The word edify means to build up. Amen. To edify the church. Look at with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 14. In 1 Corinthians, chapter number 14, in verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So we see again the scriptures clearly tell us that a purpose of the spiritual gifts is to edify or build up the body of Christ, the church. Look it with me also in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4, in verse number 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. We're told, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And then he goes on and he tells us why those spiritual gifts were given. In verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's that word edify again. The edifying of the body of Christ, which is the church. So again, the purpose of the spiritual gifts, I've given a couple of reasons here on our outline. Number one, to glorify the Father. And number two, to edify or build up the church, the body of Christ. Next, as we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we want to look at the abuse of spiritual gifts. The abuse of spiritual gifts. One abuse would be not using those gifts imparted or given to us. Not using those gifts imparted or given to us. We see in 1 Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, a part of the pastoral epistles, Paul the Apostle wrote these letters to Timothy, a young pastor, that Paul had led to the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. This is what he tells Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. That's what he tells Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Why? Because that would be an abuse of not using the gift to glorify the Father and to edify the church that God had given Timothy. Look at also in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. Paul again is writing to Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. He's telling Timothy to stir up that gift. Use that gift that's been given to you, Timothy. Also, we see the story of the unfaithful servant in Matthew 25 abused the talent given him by the Lord by not using it properly. In the same way, a spiritual gift may be abused by despising it, hiding it, or failing to use it to edify other believers and give glory to God. So we see one abuse of the spiritual gifts is not using the gift that's been given to us, the gift or gifts that's been given to us or imparted to us. The scriptures also tell us an abuse of spiritual gifts is counterfeiting the sign gifts for a vain show of power and false spirituality. Looking in Proverbs chapter 25 with me. Proverbs chapter 25. In Proverbs chapter 25, in verse number 14. Proverbs 25, 14. Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Again, Proverbs 25:14, whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. Counterfeiting the sign gifts for a vain show of power and false spirituality is another abuse of spiritual gifts. The last abuse I have there listed on the outline is not using the gifts in love. Look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 with me. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And he goes on and he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. How often are those blessed gifts abused? Only eternity will reveal the number of men in the ministry who should have never been there. On the other hand, and just as tragic, there has doubtless been a great company of men who were called into God's service but never answered it. Perhaps the greatest abuse of all is the use of gifts without love. If one rightly comprehends the material given thus far in good gifts, one can understand why God sometimes seems to use a carnal Christian in a great way in spite of the glaring or often secret sins in his life. However, in such cases, God is only blessing the gift and not the man personally. In this life, he will surely reap what he sows or has sown. Certainly, at the judgment seat of Christ, as Paul talks about the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 15, there's going to be a lot of surprises, because what stress is not the quantity of what people do for the Lord, but the motivation, the heart motivation of what sort it was. No doubt, many world-famous Christian leaders will receive few, if any, rewards from Christ because of their sins and carnality. What about you and me? We need to ask ourselves. Now we want to look at, as we continue on the section on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we want to look at the description of spiritual gifts. We want to look at, first of all, the number of spiritual gifts. Where do we find the spiritual gifts mentioned in the Scriptures? Well, we see from three passages of Scripture, we can compile a list of the gifts of the Spirit. Let's first turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12 with me. In Romans 12, beginning in verse 6, reading down through verse 8, Romans 12, 6 to 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Also look with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're just reading now the places or the passages in Scripture that mention the gifts. And we're going to cover each gift in some detail. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Now, these are the diversities of gifts for the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The purpose of the gift is to profit all, not just one ourself, amen, to edify or profit the church. For to one is given the Spirit, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then the gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Also, let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Again, from the three passages of Scripture, we can compile a list of the gifts of the Spirit. In those passages we just looked at are Romans 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Listed separately, they number 24. The gift of a prophet and the gift of prophecy are considered separately. The gifts of governments and the gifts of ruling appear to be the same gift. That brings the number down to 23. The gift of healing, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and the gift of apostle are found twice among these lists. That leaves 20. So we see that all together, then, there are 20 gifts. And then we see now, of the 20 gifts, four of the gifts are sign gifts that are no longer in operation today. That leaves 16 gifts of the Spirit available to believers for service in the church today. So we see then, there are four sign gifts that were given that are no longer in operation today, and 16 that are still available to believers for the service in the church today. And what we're going to do at this time is we're going to focus in on the sign gifts first, the temporary sign gifts. And there are four. And I'm just going to name them now, and then we're going to go through a brief history of the sign gifts, and then I'll look at each one of the four individually in detail. The four temporary sign gifts that are no longer in operation today are miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those are the four. And then we'll look at the remaining 16 gifts for today later on in our study. Now, let's look at a brief history. Brief history of the sign gifts. The history of the sign gifts. First of all, the sign gifts were given to the nation of Israel. In fact, we're going to see that the nation of Israel itself begins with signs. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 4, we see that Moses is being given instructions by the Lord and how he is going to be the leader or deliverer of Israel out of bondage from Egypt. And we pick up in Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, as Exodus chapter 4 begins, Moses is talking to God, to the Lord, and he's saying, But the children of Israel are not going to listen to me. They will not believe me that you've sent me to deliver them. They're not going to hearken and listen to what I have to say. They're not going to believe that you've appeared to me, Lord. Verse number 2 of Exodus 4. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So we see here that God is giving to Moses a sign of a miracle to be able to take his rod and to cast it down upon the ground and for it to turn into a serpent and then for Moses to take the serpent by the tail and have it change back, amen, into a rod. That's a miracle. And we see the reason for that is, the reason that God is giving Moses that sign, he says in verse 5, that they may believe. In other words, that they may believe that the God of their fathers, the same God that appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, has also appeared unto you, Moses. But the Lord doesn't stop there. Look at in verse 6. And the Lord said further more unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Verse 7. Exodus chapter 4. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Again, here, God is giving Moses another sign, the sign of healing, where he puts his hand in his bosom and he pulls it out, it's leprous. He puts it in his bosom again and pulls it out, and it's totally healed like brand new. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. Moses is saying, if they won't believe the sign where I've given you the miracle to throw down that your rod in it to turn a serpent, well, if they won't believe that, then they'll believe this sign of healing, this sign gift of healing that I'm giving you, Moses. God's still not through yet. Verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Again, another sign. Again, the reason, and this is very important for you to understand, the reason God gave Moses signs, sign gifts, was so the children of Israel would believe that God appeared unto him, Moses, just as God had appeared unto their fathers that had gone before, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so that they would believe that, yes, they would believe, first of all, the message and the man, that Moses was truly sent by God and his message was truly from God. That's why Moses and the nation of Israel began with signs. But it doesn't stop there. We see that it continues the sign gifts in the Gospels. We see that Jesus chooses 12 Jewish apostles and gives them their commission and sends them only to minister to the nation of Israel. Their ministry was to be only the 12 Jewish apostles that were chosen and commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Their ministry was only to the nation of Israel. We're going to see that. Let's turn to Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew with me, please. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, we begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew 10, we will begin reading in verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Again, here we see some sign gifts, gifts of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of casting out unclean spirits. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphonse, Alabias, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, this is where Jesus is sending them to. This is where their ministry is to go to. He says, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Their 12 Jewish apostles were not to go to the Gentiles, neither were they to go to the Samaritans, which were half Jew, part Jew and part Gentile. He says in Matthew 10, verse 6, he tells them, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See that? He's telling them that you're to go only. You're to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're to minister. You're to go only to the Jew. Verse 7. And here's the message there to preach. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven and the word of God, and we'll emphasize this, and we'll probably repeat it again and again so that you'll understand it. The kingdom of heaven that they're talking about is the physical, literal kingdom of heaven on this earth, where you'd have Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem, where he would rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. It's not talking about the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, when one enters into now in the age of grace, the church age, when you believe on Christ, when you're born again. Amen. He says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely give. Again, we see that the 12 Jewish apostles, because they're going to the Jews only, they're given sign gifts. Why? Again, so the Jews would believe again the men and the message. The message is from God, and the men are from God. Remember, they did not have the completed Bible back then. They did not have God's full written revelation from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. Again, we see the 12 Jewish apostles' ministry to the nation of Israel to be continued after the resurrection and ascension to Christ. It was to continue. Again, they were to go to the Jews only. And again, they were given sign gifts. Let's look in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 with me. In Mark chapter 16, verse 14. And afterwards he appeared. Now he is Jesus. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat. Now he appeared unto the 11 because there are only 11 apostles here right now. Why? Because Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed Jesus Christ, had hung himself and unbraided them. He chastised them, meaning the reference to the 11 apostles, unbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have to remember again, this is not the gospel of grace that Paul preached, and then Paul defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, which was Christ died, he died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. No, this was the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The same one that John the Baptist preached, that Jesus preached, and the apostles preached while Jesus was on this earth. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, in these signs... Okay, here are the sign gifts that are going to go along with the men in the message. These sign gifts shall follow them that believe. Talking about not converts now, talking to the apostles. These are the sign gifts that I'm going to give you, Jesus says. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Again, he's talking to Jewish apostles. And we know that the qualifications for the apostleship at the time, amen, we see what the qualifications are in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, when they were to pick a replacement for Judas, we see that the qualifications for an apostle, Acts chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. First of all, they would have had to have been accompanying the others, apostles, and had been with Jesus from the beginning. And verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, under the same day that he was taken up for us. So they were to be baptized, had to have been baptized with the baptism of John, which was the baptism of repentance for sin, amen. And were to be with the others from the beginning till Jesus ascended, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. Again, also another qualification of an apostle, where they would have had to see the resurrection, amen, of Jesus Christ. Again, qualifications for the for apostleship, amen, was they would have had to been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry up until the end of his ministry, have been baptized with the baptism of John, amen, and have seen the resurrected Lord. As we continue, we see as we go back to Mark, again, we see that the given sign gifts in Mark chapter 16, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, that's the 11 apostles, and preached everywhere the Lord, working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So the signs, they went forth, they did what Jesus told them, they preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, they performed these signs, these sign gifts that Jesus has given them, and it says right there in verse 20, the reason for the signs was to confirm the word with the signs following. Confirm the words of Jesus. So people would believe that the apostles were from God himself and the message was from God himself. And again, they were going to the Jews. Then we see the apostles continue to preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and have the sign gifts in the early chapters of the book of Acts. For example, we see in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, where they spoke with diverse tongues. They spoke in different languages. So again, God had given them a sign gift, and again, their audience was to the Jews. That's who they were speaking of. And we're going to talk about some of these things in great detail, so I'm not going to go into it this time. But I want you to see how this ministry that the apostle had were to the Jews, and they were given the sign gifts so that the Jews would believe. We also see that the sign gifts used the gift of healing in Acts 3, where we see Peter and John healing the lame man outside the temple beautiful, or the gate beautiful. But the turning point in the book of Acts, when we start to see a transition or a change away from the Jews, is in chapter 7. In chapter 7, we see that Stephen, God gives the nation of Israel one more chance to get right. Stephen preaches a fire and brimstone messages, tells them basically to repent of killing their Messiah. What do? They reject Stephen's preaching, and they stone him to death. And then what happens is, as we continue to go through the book of Acts, we see the following transitions. Are turning away from the Jews by God and going to the Gentiles. We see an emphasis going from the ministry of Peter the Apostle, which was to the Jews, was to those that were circumcised, to the ministry of Paul, to the Gentiles, the uncircumcised. No longer do we see the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, but it turns to the preaching of the gospel of grace, which was that Christ died, he died for our sins, was buried, and arose again to save man. And in fact, in Acts chapter 15, we see the apostles and the church leaders coming together. In Acts chapter 15, we see them coming together in Jerusalem. And we see that Peter rose up in Acts 15, verse 11, and says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Paul's ministry, the message that he is preaching, is that a person is saved, either Jew or Gentile, is saved by grace through faith in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. And as a result of turning from the Jews and turning to the Gentiles, to the church, where God is calling out for his son, a bride, primarily made up of Gentiles, we see the sign gifts dropping off and diminishing and finally going away. And we see evidence of that. We see, for example, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, we're told that Paul has a thorn in his flesh. And he prays to God, and he can't heal himself. God says, I'm not taking it away, Paul. I'm giving it to you to keep you humble. My grace is sufficient for thee. Then we see Timothy. He tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 23, to take a little wine for his stomach. If he had the sign gifts still going, why didn't he heal Timothy? Also, we see in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 20, Paul writes, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Tromus have I left at Miletum sick. If the sign gifts were still in operation, Paul could have healed Trophus, but he had to leave him sick. Before we conclude, our little history here of the past and the sign gifts, there are two very important verses of Scripture that I will continually refer to in this study in relation to the Jews and the sign gifts. Look with me, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible tells us, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Notice, for the Jews require a sign. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. We see then tongues are a sign. The Jews require a sign. Why? Because they believe? No, because they believe not. Sign gifts are for unbelieving Jews. That's what the Bible clearly tells us. The Jews need a sign to believe the message from God. You'll see signs always being used in relation to the nation of Israel. Very important. It's very simple. We've seen so far from the beginning of the nation of Israel with Moses all the way up through the early chapters of the book of Acts, wherever Jews are mentioned, wherever the ministry is going to the Jews, there are always sign gifts connected with it. And as God turns away from the Jews and puts them, that he's not totally done with the Jews yet, but begins to call out primarily a Gentile bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, they stop. Because the Gentile or the Greek does not require a sign. Requires wisdom, requires a book. We have the wisdom, we have the book, the full written revelation of God in the Holy Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So again, the Jews need a sign to believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Jews require a sign. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. We see, wherefore signs are for us, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. We're going to conclude lesson 16 at this point, but we're going to finish off our history of the signs, and we're going to look to the future a little bit about the sign gifts. And then we'll get in, and we'll do that in lesson 17. In lesson 17, we'll get into looking at and defining and describing the four sign gifts in detail.